Scripture this morning in Acts chapter 27, as we're getting near the end of this book, we come to the next to the last chapter, as we've been in this book for well over a year, and coming to the end, and today we follow the Apostle Paul on an exciting journey and voyage to Rome. We had seen that he had been waiting for 2 years and for his trial before Governor Festus, and then Felix, and then Festus, and still, the charges were not being brought up against him, and so he appealed to Caesar. He was being accused by the Jews, and he appealed to Caesar his case, and now he is on his way to Rome. Governor Festus is sending him to Rome, where he would stand before Caesar and appeal here his case. So chapter 27 deals with Paul's journey and voyage to Rome. I'm not going to read all of it, but we'll be referring to all of it. I'm not going to read all of it for you. I'm just going to read the first several verses, beginning at verse 1 to verse 12. Luke recording the incident for us in the account, under the inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit, writes, "When it was decided that we would set sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a custodian named Julius, who belonged to the Imperial Regiment. We boarded a ship from Alabama and about to sail the ports along the coast of the province of Asia, and we put out to sea. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. The next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so that they may provide for his needs. From there we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. When we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Sicily and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra in Lycia. There, the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us all on board. We made slow headway for many days and had difficulty off of Sindus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete opposite Salome. And we moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens near the town of Lycia. Much time had been lost and sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was the fast. So Paul warned them, 'Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to the ship and cargo and our own lives also.' But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. And there was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for recording it for us, that from your word you can continue to teach us and we can learn. And Lord, this morning I pray that you would speak to us through your word this morning and encourage us, quiet our hearts before you, that we may hear what you have for us today. And thank you, Lord, for your lordship over our lives and in all things. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been in a storm? Maybe a storm that is terrifying, that caught you off guard or just came off. Up all of a sudden, maybe you're driving and all of a sudden the storm comes up out of nowhere. Now, I like to watch storms from a distance, like in the summertime, and I hear thunder and lightning coming in and I see a storm coming over the river. I'll go out on the porch and I love to watch the lightning and the thunder and all that, as long as it's at a distance. But if that lightning starts to hit pretty close and the wind starts to blow pretty fierce, that can be terrifying, can't it? You ever been caught in a storm, in the middle of a storm? It can be a terrifying experience. One time, Kim and I were coming back when her brother was living in North Carolina, New Bern, and we were coming home from New Bern, and we were driving through North Carolina, and all of a sudden on the radio, they come in and they said there was tornadoes in the area all around us. And they were saying, if you see a tornado, what you're to do? And we were in the car, and we said, oh no, what do we do? Remember that? And it was a terrifying experience because the sky got dark, and they kept saying the tornadoes were like all close to where we were. Fortunately, thank God, we never saw it, and it never came near us. But it's a frightening thing to be caught in the middle of a storm, especially one that may come up and be a violent storm in the midst of life. Well, we, as believers, as well as people can go through storms of life. The storms that can blow in, sometimes unexpectedly, sometimes suddenly. Oh, the storms that can come financially, physically, in a lot of different ways, can be a terrifying experience. Chapter 27 shares with us about Paul's journey to Rome. And in the midst of a ship, and he was sailing on a journey that was supposed to take 5 weeks, about a 2,000-mile journey from Caesarea, where he got on the boat, to where he would be going to in Italy. In Rome, it was about a 5-week journey by boat in those days across the Mediterranean Sea. It ended up taking 5 months because they got caught into a horrific storm. We read part of it. Luke gives us a very detailed description of this storm, and it must have been very traumatic as Luke records it for us in detail. And the trip breaks down into 3 sections, and here's where Paul was traveling from. As he was traveling from here, where he got on the boat at Caesarea, and the first part of the journey went to Myra. And you notice they were sailing close to the coast at that point. And then at Myra, they got on a ship from Alexandria, and they began their way over towards Fair Havens. When they got to Fair Havens in the second part of the trip, Luke records that it was now past time of the fast. And what the fast meant was it was now past the Day of Atonement. Why was that important? Because the Day of Atonement happened in September, early October, and from that point on, people didn't sail across the Mediterranean because the winter winds and the winter storms would come up, so people didn't usually sail much after September or October. We would say hurricane season here. So it was that time, and Luke recorded it, and they got to Fair Havens right here, and the captain says, well, I think we need to go over here and see if we can come over here to Phoenix on this side of Crete and winter there because I don't want to winter here in Fair Havens. And Paul said, I have a feeling that if we go on this anymore on this trip, disaster is going to hit. You're going to lose the boat and the cargo. But it says the owner of the ship and the captain did not listen to Paul's warning and decided to go on. Does that sound like something you heard before? Remember the Titanic? The Titanic was sailing across the mid-Atlantic, and there was iceberg warnings in the area, and the owner of the ship, Ismay, said, we want to go faster. Instead of slowing down, he said, we want to go faster and get ahead of schedule. He refused to listen to the warning. So they left Fair Havens, and they began across this part of the Mediterranean Sea. Somewhere in through here, Luke records that the ship was caught in a storm, a sudden storm that came up, and for 14 days, it says they couldn't see the sun, they couldn't see the cloud, the stars, pitch black. For 14 days, they were tossed in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, somewhere in here, for 14 days solid. That's a long storm. Finally, at the end of the 14 days, their ship ran aground here on Malta. And then eventually they made their way to Italy. But a trip that was supposed to take 5 weeks took 5 months. And in this terrifying storm and shipwreck, Paul demonstrated a calm assurance in his life and a strong faith that he had in the Lord and a trust in him. And from him, we can learn how we face the storms of life. And the question for us this morning for us to ponder is your faith strong when the storms of life hit? Because friends, we can be guaranteed storms are going to come up. And some things with storms, they come unexpectedly. Sometimes we can see the storm clouds on the horizon and we know a storm's coming, but sometimes storms just come up all of a sudden and overtake us. And when those storms do, is your faith strong in the midst of it that you can withstand them? Paul had a calm assurance, as we're going to see as this chapter unfolds, that when this storm came, he had a peace in the midst of this storm, even though they were being tossed through the middle of the Mediterranean Sea for weeks. And from him, we can learn to discover how we can trust God through life's storms. So that's what's before us this morning. So let's look at 3 principles to keep in mind that we can discover from God's word and from the story this morning, how we can trust God when those times, how we can weather the storms that we face in our life. And the first thing to remember when going through a storm is that God is sovereign over the storms. That when those storms of life come, God rules and he is sovereign. Through the storm we just sang, he is Lord, Lord of all. Because when things are out of control, out of our control, they're never out of God's control. Look at verses 13 to 20. Paul records that a gentle wind began to blow, and before long the storm came up. It was of hurricane force, called a nor'easter. Ever heard that before? When do we get our worst storms here? They're nor'easters, aren't they, that come up the coast? And it was a nor'easter that hit the ship, and they were in the middle of it. And it said the ship was driven along. And it said, fearing we would run aground on the sand, they passed, verse 17 says, they passed ropes under the ship to hold it together. They lowered the anchor. Such a violent wind was battering the storm. The next day, they threw all the cargo overboard. And verse 20 says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, the storm continued raging. We literally finally gave up all hope of being saved. And they had tried everything. They threw all the cargo over. They tried to tie the rope together and hold the boat together with rope so it wouldn't break. And they do everything that they knew to do. And yet the storm continued to besiege the boat. And they gave up. Oh, they thought it was hopeless. They were going to be lost. And they were out of the storm was out of their control. And sometimes when those storms come, they're out of our control. But you know what? They're not out of God's. They're not out of his control because he is Lord in the midst of it. The Lord had made a promise to Paul prior to this that you will testify for me in Rome. And the Lord was going to get Paul to Rome, and this was part of the way he was doing it. But he was sovereign over it. In Psalm 107, verses 23 to 27, the psalmist is writing about a storm that came up and giving thanks in the midst of it. And he said that others went out talking about they were sailors on the sea and they were merchants on mighty waters, and they saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke, talking about the Lord, and stirred up a tempest and lifted high the waves, and they mounted to the heavens and went down to the depths. And in their peril, their courage melted away, and they reeled and staggered like dead men, drunken men. But it says in verse 27, they were at their wits' end. Have you ever been at your wits' end in the midst of a storm that overtakes you? You're like, Lord, I don't know where to go through this. I can't see any stars. It's dark where I'm at. Everything seems hopeless around me. There's nothing I can do. I've gone and go down in this storm. I'm going to perish. My boat is going to sink. Have you ever been there? Like when we're out of control and we're at our wit's end, that's often when God steps in. Because he is sovereign over that. And he knows where we are. Psalm 139 says there is nowhere that we can go that he does not know. He said, even in the darkest places it seemed dark to us, it's not dark to the Lord. And he knows exactly where we were. And he knew where Paul and Luke and Aristarchus and all those on the boat were in the midst of that storm. They thought they were drifting aimlessly and lost in the middle to Mediterranean Sea, but God knew exactly where they were. And he knows where you are in the storm. And he knows where he is taking us. And sometimes he uses those storms to take us to a place deeper in our faith than we wouldn't have experienced if we wouldn't have had that. He knew that he was taking Paul to Rome. He knew that Paul had to get to Rome to testify to the gospel there. And that's where God was taking Paul. The storm was part of a way to get him there. And sometimes God will use those storms in our life to take us into deeper waters, so that we learn to trust him in a way that we wouldn't have experienced before. But he knows his good purpose. And you believe he has a good purpose in all that he does? And he's good in all things, and he's working that out. He also knows when the storm will end. We don't know that, but God does. And we can trust him in the midst of the storm because he will bring it to an end. We may not know. And when we're in the middle of the storm sometimes, we pray, Lord, get me out of this storm. But sometimes his will is for us to be in the middle of that storm for that moment. But he knows when it will end. And we can trust him because he's Lord over it. The scripture says in Psalm 89, verses 8 to 9, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you? Your faithfulness also surrounds us. You rule the raging of the sea, and when its waves rise, you still them. And in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27, it talks about when the disciples were in the boat and a storm came up. And Jesus said, peace, be still. And the storm died down. And the disciples said, what kind of man is this that even the wind and the sea and the waves obey him? Our God is sovereign, that all he has to do is give the word in the midst of the storm, peace, be still, and that storm will stop. Because he is Lord over it. So when he takes you into a storm, it's where he wants us to be. Because when we are in a storm, we are exactly where God wants us to be. And you may say, but why? Why does God lead us into storms? It's because sometimes it's to deepen our faith. He allows those storms to come up in our life so that we can grow deeper. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, tells us that Jesus, it was after he had fed the 5,000, and he dismissed the crowd, and he said he told the disciples to go into the boat and go across the sea. And it said he made his disciples get into the boat, and he sent them directly, if you can read the rest of this chapter, directly into the path of a coming storm. And Jesus knew that storm was coming, and he made them get into the boat and send them directly into it. You say, but why? Why would Jesus send his disciples into a path of an impending storm in the middle of the sea? Why? Because he wanted them to learn to trust him and their faith to grow. And it's in those storms that we learn that. In the Gospels, Jesus addresses the disciples' fear, and he shows them that he is Lord of the storm. Because he appears to them in the middle of that storm and says, don't be afraid, it is me. I am here with you. And he calmed the storm, and they learned that he was Lord over it. So God is sacred. God is sovereign over the storms of life. So to have God in our life doesn't mean we're sailing in a boat with no storms. We're going to have those storms. They're going to come. But it means having a boat that no storm can sink. And aren't you thankful for that? Because when Jesus is in our boat, we are safe there. We'll have the storms, but no storm, no matter how hard it is going to sink that boat with Jesus in it and with us in the middle of that storm. So when going through any storm in your life, remember who it is who calms them. It is our Lord, who is Lord over the sea, who is Lord over those storms and can bring peace. So I referred to this in Sunday school this morning. This quote came up, but sometimes God calls the storms and sometimes he lets the storm rage and he calms his child. So in the midst of those storms, know that God calms us while the storms continue to rage because he is Lord and he is sovereign even when the storms come. Through it all, through the storms, he is Lord, Lord of all. So remember the first thing when you're going through a storm, that he is sovereign over it. He has allowed it to come into our life for some reason. And it's to deepen our faith and reliance on him. And he is Lord. And when the storm is over and its purpose is accomplished, he will get us to where he wants us to be. But second, God is present in the storms. Not only is he sovereign, but he's present in it. As the storm continues to unfold, look at verses 21 through 26. Luke records that after the men had gone a long time without food, we're going to see it was at least 14 days, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete, and you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But he says, but now I urge you to keep up your courage because none of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. For last night, the God whom I am and whose I serve stood beside me. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. See, God was getting him where he wanted to go. And God will graciously, God has graciously given the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. So in the middle, Paul gets up and he stands and he says, shares the word. He said, the Lord is with us. And the Lord appeared to me last night and reminded me that he is present with us in the storm. And yes, we're being tossed around and our boat is being tossed around, but God hasn't abandoned us. He is right here present with us in the storm, he was reminding them. And he's present with us when those storms come. And he reassures us by his word. And he came to Paul and he spoke the word and he said, don't be afraid. You will stand trial before Caesar. The boat will be destroyed, but nobody will perish. And the Lord told him everybody is going to make it safely through. And the Lord gave his word and reassured him. And it's in those times when the wind and the waves are coming high and besetting our boat and a storm is ravaging. It's in those times when God reassures us through his word. And maybe that comes through a spoken word someone shares with you. Maybe it comes through a card that someone sends you that has a verse of scripture that was exactly what you needed at that moment. But it's how the Lord reassures us through his word in those storms and reminds us, I am with you. I will never forsake you. I am here. I am present with you in the midst of this storm. Have courage. Don't be afraid. I will never forsake you. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure, and our hope is anchored firmly on the word of God and on our Lord who holds us fast. And we have that reassurance. And our anchor will hold no matter what storms we face. Do you believe that? Our anchor in Christ, our anchor in his word will hold fast. And we can be reassured by that truth because he is present and will not forsake us in those storms. And no matter what storm we face. And you think of a tree, when a tree is right, what helps a tree to endure a hard storm that may come up, maybe tornado force winds or really hard winds, the storm that comes through. If a tree puts its roots down really deep, and the deeper its roots go down into the soil, the better that tree has a chance of being strong and able to withstand the wind, to withstand the storms that may come and blow its way. Because of the deep root system down in the soil, it can hold deep, that even be resistant against the winds that may be blowing against it. And we need to have our roots rooted down and grounded deep into God's word and into Christ. And the deeper we put our roots into the word of God, the stronger we'll be able to withstand those storms of life. The deeper we are grounded and rooted into Jesus, and the deeper we are grounded and rooted into his word, that's what gives us the strength to endure and weather the storms when they come, because he is present in the midst of it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 says, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fail because it was founded on the rock. And it was strong there. And Proverbs 10, 25 says, when the storms of life come, the wicked are whirled away, but the godly have a lasting foundation. And what is that foundation? It's the word of God, and it's Jesus Christ. And when our life is built strong on that and our roots are down deep in that, we can weather those storms and through the reassurance of his word. So the question is this morning, how deep are your roots? And in order to prepare for a storm, when you know a storm's coming, if we know a storm's coming, like the way they're telling us last month about this snowstorm coming, to prepare and to take the time to prepare. When you know a storm's coming, you got to get all your supplies and you got to make sure you have ample food, you have batteries, and everything you need to supply, prepare ahead. And we know that when the storm's coming. But when we don't know a storm's coming, how can we be prepared? by having our roots down deep. But whenever our roots are down into Christ and in His Word, then when a sudden storm may come and overtake us, we are prepared and we can withstand because our roots are down deep in the Word. So how deep are your roots? How strong are they? That helps us in those times of storm. Let me illustrate it with a sponge. And you know, a sponge you use for cleaning or whatever, and when you get a sponge and you fill it up with water or whatever, and then you squeeze the sponge, what comes out of the sponge when it's squeezed? Whatever it absorbs, whatever it's taken in. In those lifetime in our life, the storms sometimes feel like they are squeezing us. And we feel like we're squeezed tight. And what comes out of us during that time is what's in us and what we've taken in. And if we've taken in the Word of God, we've taken in Christ and we're rooted deep in Him, when we are squeezed by the storms, that's what's going to come out is our faith, our peace, our reliance and trust on Him. But if we have taken in worry, we've taken in anxiety, we've taken in our own way of trying to solve the problem, and then when we're squeezed in the storms, what's going to come out? Worry, anxiety, fear. When we're squeezed, what's going to come out is what's already been taken in. And by being rooted and grounded and deep in the Word of God. So we are reassured by His Word, but He also keeps us in His care. And throughout this storm, the Lord kept Paul and Luke and Aristarchus and all those who were on board, all 276 of them, Luke says, in His care, that as they were being tossed in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, God kept them safe. And He knew exactly where they were, and His hand of protection was upon them. And He was caring for them in the midst of the sea. And He said, not one of you is going to perish. And He was preserving them and caring for them. And He keeps us in His care in the storms of life. Isaiah 42:43 says, when you face stormy seas, I will be there. And with you with endurance and calm. So He says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Fear not, I am with you. He says in verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will set you ablaze. Why? Because we are in the hands of God. He has protected us. We are sheltered under the rock, and He keeps us safe. It can be illustrated by a lighthouse. And a lighthouse in the midst of a storm, and a boat's out in the middle of a stormy sea, and that lighthouse may be shining out the light, and that's hope. Because the waves may be dashing against the lighthouse and it may be dark, but that light is still shining. And a light that is shining in the midst of a storm to a sea, a sailor at sea, brings hope to know that it guides them home. And it shows them the harbor of safety. And so in the midst of those storms, know that Jesus is the lighthouse. His light is shining. The wind and the waves may bird against it, but it's on the rock. And he cannot be destroyed, and He will guide us safely home. And He gives us hope that no matter how hard that storm will be, it will not destroy or take down the lighthouse. And Jesus continues to be with us in the middle of it. He keeps us in His care, and He gives us His peace. In the middle of the storm, He says, peace be still. Notice Paul got up and said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Keep your courage. Have faith in God. Believe in what He told us. You go down to verse 33, and he says, Paul in the morning urged them all to eat. He said, for 14 days you have been in constant suspense and gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. So I urge you, get some food. He took bread and broke it and gave it to them. And he demonstrated peace in the midst of this storm. He had a calm assurance because he knew that God was with him in the midst of it. And when we are in those storms, when the wind's raging around us, he is present with us because he gives us his peace. The peace to be still. He ushers those words, peace, be still. And that storm's rage, and the waves calm down. But God's peace is not the calm after the storm. It's the steadfastness during it. That even as the storm may continue to rage, and as the storm continued to rage around Paul, he still had that peace because he knew that he was in the hand of God. This illustration helps illustrate it well. That when we have God's peace, the storms may still be raging around us, but right where we are in the center of the storm, we have that peace and then we're in the hands of God. That may mean the storms may continue to rage for a while, but we still have that peace and calm assurance to know that God is present with us in it. He hasn't forsaken me, and he will guide me safely home. He will get me through this. And that's that calm assurance of his peace that he gives us, though he's present with us. And he also encourages us by his goodness. Paul got up and he said to the guys on the boat, "You haven't eaten anything. Here, God has provided." And he took bread and broke it and gave it to them. What did that remind us of? It reminds us of Jesus' provision of himself. That he gave his life, his body and blood broken for us to provide for us. And he provided for their needs and he provided for their goodness even in the midst of the storm. And it said they ate and it said that they were encouraged. Verse 36, they were all encouraged and they ate because they saw God's provision in peace even in the midst of the storm. And his goodness provided to them. And third, in the middle of the storms, remember that God is glorified through the storms. And you say, well, how is God glorified through the storms? Well, he's glorified through the witness of our faith. Verses 27 to 44, when Paul stood up and gave witness of how the Lord had spoken to him and gave witness and encouraged them to eat, they all were encouraged by his faith. And his faith was an example to them in the midst of the storm and brought glory to God. And God was glorified through Paul's life, through how in the middle of the storm he had that peace and he could continue to praise him and he could continue to serve him. And when God takes you in the midst of that storms of life and you demonstrate that calm assurance and peace and concern for others, which Paul did, that is a witness that brings glory to God. As people see your faith lived out in the middle of the storm, and it causes them to bring glory and praise to God. Like, how can you have that assurance in the storm? It's because of Jesus. And the glory goes to him. He's also glorified through the provision of his deliverance. Because it says, as Luke continued to record this, in verses 39 through the end of the chapter, it said, when daylight came, they did not recognize the land, and they saw a land. And they threw some of the anchors by, and the soldiers, verse 42, planning to kill the soldiers to prevent the prisoners from swimming to the shore and escaping, but the centurion wanted to save Paul's life, so they kept them from doing that. But they ordered them to jump overboard and to swim to shore or to pick up pieces of the ship, but everyone reached safely the land. The ship ran aground on the island of Malta. The ship broke in pieces, and people took those pieces and able to get aboard them, but everyone safely landed on shore. And God did bring deliverance to all of them, as he said he would do. And God will bring deliverance to us through those times of the storm. Sometimes the storm may cease, but sometimes he'll bring us through it. In Exodus chapter 14, it says that the nation of Israel, whenever they were come out of Egypt, and they were camped along the Red Sea. And Pharaoh began to chase them down. And he says, I am going to go. We bring them back. And the nation, the Israel was camped by the Red Sea on one side. And the Egyptian army was invading them and coming on the other side. They were pressed against the sea with no route of escape. And they were in the middle of a storm. They were at their wit's end. And they began to cry out in fear. And Moses said, don't be afraid. Stand firm, for you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today. He said, the Egyptians that you see today, you will see no more. And God provided a way, and he opened up and brought deliverance through the sea. And God will always make a way when it seems there is none. And he will come through. And he will bring that path of deliverance in his time and in his ways. For it's because the storm will come to an end. He will bring that storm to an end. Sometimes we're in the middle of it, we may not think so, but he will bring that storm to an end when it fulfills its purpose in which he has accomplished. And he will bring us safely home. And all of them arrive safely on the shore. And he will bring us safely to the harbor of heaven. And he will guide and bring us all safely home there. You believe that? We may have to go through some storms here, but he will get us all safely to his house and bring the true deliverance. In Psalm 107, verses 29 to 30, it says, he makes the storm a calm so that its waves are still. When they are glad, they were glad because it was calm, and because he brings them to their desired haven. And he brings us to our desired haven. And where is our desired haven? With him. And he will bring us safely home there when the storm is over. It led the disciples to say, when Jesus calmed the storm, when they were in the boat, it led them to say, when they got into the boat and the wind ceased down, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. And he is glorified when he brings that deliverance. In the midst of the storm through your testimony, but when he takes you through that storm and out the other side, we can give glory and praise to God for it. In Exodus chapter 14, we saw how he was going to promise to lead them through the wilderness to the sea. Exodus chapter 15, Miriam leads the nation in a song of deliverance and say, praise to the Lord, the horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. And it brought about praise and glory for his deliverance. He's also glorified through the fulfillment of his promise. And then he will do what he has said. And he will keep his word. God told Paul that he would reach Rome and to testify for him there. God told him that even before the storm hit. And in the middle of the storm, he reminded him of that. And he did. He was faithful. He got Paul to Rome and he testified there. God kept his promise. God told Paul that none of the passengers would be lost. And they weren't. And he again faithfully did what he promised. God told Paul the ship would run aground, and it did. Our God keeps his promises, and we can trust him in that. And whatever he said, he will do. And through the fulfillment of his promise, he is glorified. So we can trust God in the storms of life, because they will hit, and I can guarantee you they're going to come. Either we're heading into the path of a storm, we're in the middle of a storm now, or we're coming out of one. But those storms will come on our life unexpectedly and overtake us. And we can trust in those storms and trust God in those storms, remembering that he's sovereign over them, he's present with us in them, and he's glorified through them. So how do we apply this to our life? How do we make this personal for what it means to us? Again, I have a spot for you at the bottom to write down your response here to God, what God may be saying to you. And the question to answer and to ponder this morning is, how can I prepare for the storms that may come my way? If we know a storm's coming, we've got to take those preparations. Make sure we got the food laid up. Make sure we have the batteries. Make sure we're ready. How can we prepare for the storm that may come? Having our roots down deep in God's word. Having that prayer. Having our being down grounded deep into Jesus. So write down on there, how can you prepare today for a storm that may come your way this week or in the next month or next year? But how can you begin to make preparations now so that where your roots down deep, that when the wind blows, you can withstand it and you can be strong in that storm? Write down one thing that you can do to prepare. And second, how can I trust God in the storm that I am facing? In the storm that I'm going through now, how can I trust God in it? How can I demonstrate, like Paul, that calm assurance and that peace in the midst of the storm and trust him and not be overcome by anxiety or fear in the storm that I'm facing. Making it personal, taking God's word and applying it to our life. In the late 1735, a ship made its way to the New World from England. On board was a young Anglican minister called by the name of John Wesley. You may have heard of him. He had been invited to serve as a pastor to the British colonies in Savannah, Georgia. A storm hit, and the ship found itself in serious trouble. And Wesley, who was the chaplain of the vessel, feared for his life. When the storm hit, he was overcome with fear. On his way back from Georgia back to England, a pastor, but the storm hit, his life was overtaken by fear. But yet he noticed in that same boat a group of German Moravians who were on their way to preach to the American Indians, and they were not afraid at all. In fact, throughout the storm, they sang calmly. And when the trip ended, he asked the Moravian leader about his deep serenity. And the Moravian responded with a question. He said to Wesley, he said, "Well, do you have faith in Christ?" Wesley said he did, but later reflected, "I fear that those were just vain words. I don't really think I did." Wesley's experience in Georgia was a failure, both personally and ministry-wise, and a bitter Wesley returned back to England again. And after speaking with another Moravian, Peter Buller, Wesley concluded that he lacked saving faith. So on May 24th, 1738, he had an experience that changed everything. He described this event in his journal when he said, quoting, "In the evening, I went in very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle of the Romans. It was about 8:45 while he was describing the change that God works in the heart through faith in Christ. I felt my heart strangely warmed, and I felt that I did trust in Christ, in Christ alone for salvation, an assurance that it was given to me, and I had that God had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." God used those Moravians, trusting God in the midst of that storm at sea, to bring about the conversion of the great evangelist John Wesley. If you're going through a storm, he wants you to trust him in it, and he will use you to bear witness to someone else who may need to know about the Savior, who alone can deliver us from the storms of his wrath and the day to come. So trust him to weather those storms, because God can use your witness to bring others to Christ in the midst of it. He is sovereign over the storm, he is present in it, and he is glorified through it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you bring us safely home. That sometimes you lead us into the storms, but you know where you're going and you know where you're taking us. And when we're tossed by the storms, we feel like we're drifting aimlessly, but Lord, you know exactly where we are. Even when the stars, there's no stars to navigate, and how dark that must have been for Paul and Luke and those on the ship. But even in the midst of that outer darkness, you were there. And you were guiding them, and your presence was watching over them, and your peace was sustaining Paul. So, Father, thank you for that assurance that we have, that you are sovereign over the storms. You use them for your good purpose. You are guiding and directing us through them, and you are present there. And, Lord, help us to glorify you in the midst of those storms by our faith that we demonstrate, just as Paul did, that becomes a witness to others that can lead them to know you. And Lord, that when you bring the deliverance, which you will, and you take us safely home, that we can praise you and glorify you for what you've done, that through the storm, you are Lord, through the storm you have safely guided us through, and you have said peace, and you give us peace, calming us, even when the winds and the rage, storms may rage around us, we still have that peace that passes all human understanding that only you can bring. So thank you, Lord, for helping us to able to weather the storms of life, because they've come our way, and help us to be strong in you with our roots down deep in you and in your word to sustain us in those times of trial. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.